Hey, it's Jonathan Van Ness. Americans United for Separation of Church and State defends your freedom to live as yourself and believe as you choose, so long as you don't harm others. Core freedoms like abortion rights, marriage equality, public education, and even American democracy itself rest upon the wall of separation between church and state. Christian nationalists are attacking these freedoms, seeking to force us all to live by their narrow beliefs. Americans United is fighting back. Freedom without favor and equality without exception. Learn more about AU at au.org/curious.
Let's face it, I'm not going to stop treating myself anytime soon, and neither should you. But what I should stop doing is paying for me time with whatever random credit card is in my wallet. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times the points on your spending. So what could future you do with better rewards? Honey, is it like a gorgeous free flight that you would have had to have paid for, but honey, you're saving that flight money? Is it a gorgeous room upgrade? Is it like a gorgeous like two-bedroom suite instead of a one-bedroom suite, so you're like in-laws or like your friend could stay over there in that room, so you don't have to like hear them doing whatever with what they're doing in your guys's room? Is it like really adulting? Oh, I love adulting. And you know what else I love? Is not waiting to make smart financial decisions. I also love paying my credit cards off in full every month because, like, yes, good credit. So let's, like, do try to do that and, like, making responsible decisions, which we love. But anyway, don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Let's face it, I'm not going to stop treating myself anytime soon, and neither should you. But what I should stop doing is paying for me time with whatever random credit card is in my wallet. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times the points on your spending. So what could future you do with better rewards? Honey, is it like a gorgeous free flight that you would have had to have paid for, but honey, you're saving that flight money? Is it a gorgeous room upgrade? Is it like a gorgeous like two-bedroom suite instead of a one-bedroom suite, so you're like in-laws or like your friend could stay over there in that room, so you don't have to like hear them doing whatever with what they're doing in your guys's room? Is it like really adulting? Oh, I love adulting. And you know what else I love? Is not waiting to make smart financial decisions. I also love paying my credit cards off in full every month because, like, yes, good credit. So let's, like, do try to do that and, like, making responsible decisions, which we love. But anyway, don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Welcome to Getting Curious. On this episode, we are going to be talking about food and eating disorders. What constitutes an eating disorder? I have had issues with food my whole life. I was a binger and purger for years. And as a gay man, body image and how food is in my life and how I see food in the lives of my friends is something that I'm really curious about. So this is my dear friend Alana. She's Hungarian though, so her name is spelled with an O, but really it's an A, and it's fierce and we love it. So her name is Alana. So Alana, I want you to tell our listeners about what you do.
Sure. So I'm a marriage and family therapist intern. I specialize with eating disorders. I've been working with specifically eating disorders for about 4 years in treatment centers, and now I'm in private practice. And it's an issue very near and dear to my heart as well. Runs in my family. I've had my own ups and downs with it. And it's a very prominent thing that people don't really talk about. And I know we've discussed how, especially in the male world, it's not really talked about. It's really kind of stigmatized. And so I just thought this is a great opportunity to bring some light on it.
So, Alana, obviously, you know, eating disorders, it's a big, I almost feel like I don't purge anymore, but I still feel like I have a relationship of binging sometimes, but yeah. I digress. What I first want to talk about was how you specifically mentioned men.
Yes.
You know, I have a lot of girlfriends and clients who have talked to me about struggles with eating disorders in their lives and stuff, but I feel like it really affects so many men, and it affected me from such a young age. I remember watching this body called The Perfect or Perfect 10. It was a Lifetime movie, and the Pink Power Ranger was this gymnast.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And her friend taught her how to purge bear claws, which is how I learned how to do it, because I was just, like, I felt like I was just too fat, and I was never going to, like, have the six-pack abs that I saw in the Bowflex commercials, which is what I thought I would definitely need to get a husband someday.
Yeah.
So it really did affect me, but I feel like all I ever heard talk about it growing up was women. And in your research and in your career, like, do other men struggle with it? Am I the only one?
No. Like, there's approximately 10 million men that at some point in their lifetimes struggle with some form of eating disorders. And, you know, as you were just mentioning, you started with binging and purging, but eating disorders change shapes and forms. So there's anorexia, bulimia, binge eating. There's tons that are not specified, but there's such a wide variety of what an eating disorder can look like. And I like to look at it as your relationship to food, you know? So it's you trying to express an emotion and you go to food, because from an early age, we're taught that food is comfort. You know, even as babies, you cry, you get a bottle, you get a boob, you know?
Yeah.
It starts there. And so your relationship to food evolves through lifetime. And like you said, you know, looking at Bowflex commercials, looking at media, men specifically are taught to be tall, lean, and muscular. And even muscle dysmorphia is something that's developing of people, you know, bodybuilders not thinking that they're muscular enough. It's just how we perceive ourselves. So you're definitely not alone. You know, it's about 1 in 20 people have some form of eating disorder. And out of that, 1 out of 10 is a male. So, but the
percentage is less male. Like,
yes.
Like, so in a treatment center, you would, like, see make, for basically what you're saying is, like, for every 10 girls, there would be, like, one guy.
Yes. And that's also an unfortunate thing. It's not saying that there's not more men, but because of stigma, because of it being kind of generalized as this rich, white, female disease, men are reluctant to reach out. So it's very underdiagnosed in men.
Totally. And it also goes against, like, masculinity. Like,
exactly.
Being like, I am, like, I feel less than, or I feel like I'm not good enough. It's like the opposite of being like a big, strong, confident man.
Exactly.
So that does seem like why it would be like a little less easy for men to talk about.
Yeah.
I feel like what mine has kind of developed into, because like I said, I don't purge anymore, but I do feel like last night, I found myself with my very dear friend and a large, extra large Brooklyn style pizza and a gorgeous, you know, set of like mozzarella filled breadsticks and the cookie brownie pizza thing from Domino's, because I loathe them. It was like 50% off online ordering. So why not get all three things? But this morning, you know, before I came to record this, like I was for sure at my Equinox at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
I for sure did like 20 extra minutes of cardio that I would not normally do.
Mm-hmm.
I was like pushing myself really hard because I had like that. So I feel like even though I don't get rid of it anymore in the same way that I used to, it's definitely still like I was up at like 5:30 to make sure that I had enough time at the gym, you know. So I feel like I almost turned into like a workout
purger. There's tons of different compensatory things. You know, if it's not laxatives, diet pills, purging, exercise is also a compensatory behavior that people can turn to. And that can become obsessive and unhealthy. So
how do you know if you – like – what do you say to someone if they're new to you and they're like, I do this, this, and this? Like, what constitutes having an eating disorder?
Right. Well, I think I try not to generalize for sure. You know, it looks different for different people. And I definitely don't want to pathologize someone and put them in a category of, oh, this fits a typical medical diagnosis, you know? So getting curious. I love the name of your podcast. That's exactly what we do. We get curious. How does it affect your life? How did you learn these? What sorts of emotions does it carry? Are you filled with guilt? Are you filled with shame? Do you feel okay about it and just want to do an extra 20 minutes of cardio for peace of mind? Or do you feel like it's a necessity and you can't go on with your day unless you do it? You know?
It was more like if I knew because I was recording and then going to do more hair stuff after this, I wouldn't have a chance to work out. And that would have been like a major wrench in my, like, not because I necessarily felt bad from eating the pizza, but like knowing that I didn't get to work out and had that, like, that would have been like a mind F.
Yeah.
Like that would have been something I would have like obsessed over a little bit for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So the word obsession would make me definitely think like, okay, well, you know, what sort of ties are we tying? What's the value? What's the meaning that we're making of having eaten whatever you ate last night? You know, are you going to berate yourself and think you're a bad person or whatever
like,
names you want to use for yourself?
It would more be like, if you keep doing that, you're like going to develop a massive love handle and then you're not going to get a husband. And then you're going to like be an old spinster with 75 cats and no one that loves you.
So that just went spiraled real
quickly.
Yeah,
it did, didn't it? Is that what that was?
A little bit.
I will have an eye because, like, it turns out, like, your cats don't love you that much and they totally will eat your eyes if no one finds you. And it's just, like, it just gets worse and worse. How does one improve their relationship with food or get curious about their relationship with food?
There's so many resources, you know. There's nutrition, there's the medical piece, there's the therapy piece, there's the mental health, there's the community, you know, if you feel really alone, there's, you know, Instagram, there's Facebook posts, there's so many things that you can follow as a resource or just a community. I think the worst thing for an eating disorder is to let it go on in secrecy because that builds shame.
Yeah.
And so just getting open about it, talking about it, there's endless resources and just kind of being open about it and discussing it and knowing that 1 out of 20 people feel the same way. And that's probably even low. I think there's much more because even if you don't have a diagnosable eating disorder, the relationship you have with food might not be ideal. And it might be something that you just want to work on and improve and feel better about. And so talking about it with friends, I think it's something that's so relatable. Everyone has a relationship to food, whether it was how they were raised in their family. You know, culturally, there's so many cultures, Italians, Europeans. It's food is love. If you don't finish your plate, that means you're being disrespectful. So we learn all these like mixed messages and we really stop listening to our bodies and
totally
stop listening to. And now, you know, and especially in this city, there's so many different diets and like lifestyles and people really pride themselves on that and think that, oh no, I'm better because I don't eat any carbs or there's just, it's such a loaded topic. So.
Yeah. Cause it's like, for me, like I was just talking to my mom about this morning. It's like, what happens when we stop listening to, you know, I was talking to my mom about like her marriage to my dad, which was kind of, you know, a cultural thing of like, they got Pragers when they weren't marrieders. Let's get a white dress on that thing before it's 4 months and you can tell immediately, you know? So it's like a decision was made for them because of what other people thought they should do as opposed to like what they thought what was best for themselves.
Yeah.
And food is a lot like that. And I feel like, you know, I lost my stepdad like 3 years ago, and when he'd had a long struggle with cancer, and when that happened, I gained 70 pounds in 3 months.
Wow.
Like, I was a bigger kid, and then I kind of got it together through an eating disorder, and mm-hmm. then kind of once I got the weight off of the eating disorder and saw some of, like, the physical effects and not feeling good from the purging, I was like, maybe I can just stop.
Yeah.
And so I was able to just kind of stop the purging part. But never really got like a super healthy relationship with food. I just kind of like balanced out. But then it kind of reared its head again with the stress of the loss of my stepdad.
Yeah.
And so I gained this, you know, this 70 pounds in this very short amount of time. And then I really, when I moved, I left California when that happened. And then when I came back all of a sudden, being 70 pounds heavier in LA, I was like, that did not feel the same.
Right.
Like I
right.
did not, you know. Men didn't, like, were not the same niceness. And this
yeah.
was, like, before I did Game of Thrones. It was, like, when I very first came back. And it was really a different life being here. Like, because, you know, the first time I was, like, the 6-foot-tall string bean vegan yoga teacher.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of my identity.
Yeah.
And then I came back and I'm, like, depressed and I'm, you know, bigger. And I wasn't binging and purging at that time. I was really, like, actually, I feel like in this time of losing this weight, I feel like I was really very healthy and, like, self-led. Like, I really just got back into my yoga. I really tried to just be more balanced and talk to the part of myself that wanted to like eat 17 Pop-Tarts
yeah,
every night.
Absolutely.
Which really helped until, and I felt like I lost the weight pretty balanced until all of a sudden I had this thing in my mind that before I gained the weight, I wanted to get back to what I was,
okay.
which was like 165 pounds. And so I did that. And then everyone was like, girl, you're too thin. And so I started, you know, and 165 pounds on, you know, like 28 versus 24 maybe doesn't, I think I actually did like have this like little moment where like my arms, one of my very good friends was like, girl, Jennifer Aniston would be jealous of your arms. And I was like, oh, maybe I took it too far, even though I didn't mean
yeah,
to.
Yeah.
But then this time it's been this obsession of like gaining weight, but in like a muscular way.
Right.
Because
right.
I want to be shaped like a Dorito. Because right. I, you know, like so. But yeah, I mean, that has like totally dictated my life for the last year. It's like I eat every 3 hours. I go to the gym every single day. I got to eat like my protein, my green, my.
Yeah.
And now I'm to the point where like if I eat one more of those meal prep foods, I feel like I could just like, I just don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't even feel cute.
Do you feel like you lost a sense of yourself and yourself became that identity of this perfect ideal?
I feel like my body it doesn't really have to, like, I enjoy that I feel good in my body and that, and I'm trying for, like, the workouts to be more of just, like, how does this feel? Like, it feels good to be able to do this, so be in
that. Right.
But the derivative underneath that is that, like, I want to be loved and I want people to, like, I want, like, it's hard to feel, like, not attractive in the city.
Yeah.
And not, and forget LA, anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are.
Right.
And so it doesn't, like, do I really care about being Dorito-shaped, or do I just want all the gays to want me? It's more the latter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really care if I'm Dorito-shaped. Like, you know, if having, like, love handles and, like, a bigger stomach was, like, hot, I think I would rather do that.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
That sounds more fun.
Yeah. No, I love that you're able to distinguish that, you know, it's more like the underlying, what does it mean to me? It means that I'm loved and I'm wanted and I'm desired. And that is, like, the real deal underneath it. It's not like, oh, I want to be thin. You know, that's where eating disorders really start to spiral downwards. It's like, you're never thin enough. The number is never, it's always like, okay, well, five more. You lose the sense of, like, who are you? You're not this weight. It's people want you because of you, you know? I'm sure you have friends that loved you 70 pounds heavier that still love you today. And that is, like, the perspective that you want to gain is, like, who am I regardless of this weight, and being okay with yourself at every weight, because weight fluctuates. Day to day, you could fluctuate 5 pounds, you know? So really just being like, okay, this number doesn't define me. Who defines me as a person? What I offer to this world? What is my passion? And filling that up.
As opposed to, like, how you look in your Dorito.
In your Dorito, yeah.
Because it's like, that's not who and really, like, what I am is, like,
even if you are a Dorito, is that really, like, realistically, is that going to fulfill you? Are you going to be happy? And
no,
what if you're
kinda
a Dorito and not every gay man loves you? Like, what then?
I don't know. We're going to find out when we come back from this break. So, guys, more Getting Curious in just five seconds. We'll be right back. So you've been listening to our extra special Pledge Drive episode. It's Max Fun Drive. It's the most fun 2 weeks in podcasting ever. And we have Colin here to talk to us about it a little
Hello,
more.
Hello.
He's here and we love him. So, right. So what we're looking for is people to especially donate for Getting Curious. We love all of our Max Fun shows, but we do want some Getting Curious love.
Yeah. We're a new show, so we need we don't have any donors to start with, or we've got maybe five or something. So
I think that's like my mom, my dad, my grandpa, and then like two other fans. So thanks, guys.
Super fans.
Super fans.
So this is the Pledge Drive. This is our first Pledge Drive. We really need your support this Pledge Drive. The way Max Fun is supported is listener donations. If you enjoy the shows, you can download them all for free. But if you're enjoying them, consider paying a few dollars a month to support them.
And what that helps us with is that covers the recording studio, that covers me booking our gorgeous guests, it covers the research, which I actually do a lot of, you wouldn't believe. And it helps Colin and Christian and all of the people that help us at Max Fun put this together and keep it going. So we love helping you guys expand your baby brains, and we would love it if you would help us expand our baby wallets so we can keep expanding all the brains.
And you just have to go to MaximumFun.org/donate, and there you'll find the details of each of the levels that we can have you donate at. For each of the levels, you get a different gift. So at $5 a month, you get access to all these bonus episodes. That every show, we recorded one the other week. That's up now for listeners. And you can only access those if you're a donor. And also, you get access to every other donor episode for, like, the history of donor episodes. So there's like, hundreds of hours of wonderful Max Fun content. Throwing Shade have got some videos up. They do their live
shows. Those are major. Those are so funny. But this is going to be, like, the real kicker for this Pledge Drive from my end. If you donate $35 or more, by this Friday, I'm going to give you your very own fierce, Gay of Thrones-inspired little baby nickname. And it's going to be on Twitter. But you have to do it by this Friday. And I'm going to do it by, I don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but it's going to be really cute. And it's going to be like your media, your posts. And I'm going to, like, use my little baby brain to give you a really fierce, Gay of Thrones-inspired nickname. But it has to be by this Friday.
Everyone in the office wants one.
Well, that's already done. We're going to do that. We'll do that.
Lindsay's
White Steel. She's White Steel.
Oh, there
we go. She's White Steel. She's fierce. Or maybe it needs to be like White Strength. No, that's too white supremacist. I don't like that. She's Platinum Ambition. This is her.
Wow.
Yeah, Platinum Ambition. Yeah, but you're going to get your own really fierce Gay of Thrones inspired nickname if you get your donation on by this Friday.
Okay, so that's at $35 a month. And then I guess tweet at Jonathan and say, hello, I've just donated.
Tweet at Game of Thrones. And yeah, tweet at Game of Thrones, and I'm going to give you a really piercing name.
Hashtag MaxFunDrive.
Hashtag MaxFunDrive, and you have to, like, at me. At the Game of Thrones, honey. Welcome back to Getting Curious. We have Alana in the studio.
Hello.
Marriage and family therapist, eating disorder specialist.
Yes, marriage and family therapist, intern.
Intern.
Yeah,
and
sorry.
Eating, but in, well, intern, schmintern, she's...
It's
she's,
true.
She's 18.
It's true, schmintern.
She's 18,000, like, percent million, like, expert in my brain and in the world. So I just, that's what it is. So I do feel like I have lost, like, the sense of who I am in my, I really don't care. Like, now I feel like my shape has gotten, like, in my mind's eye kind of where I wanted it.
Yeah.
And do I feel like, I guess there's, like, a little bit of, like, an accomplishment piece that I feel, like, good about that, but I still feel like the same struggles that I had, like, with 70 more pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And also, though, and I always, when I talk about this, like, when I post on my Instagram and stuff, like, I really consciously try to go back to that place and to that Jonathan and make sure that he knows that he was loved.
Yeah.
And actually did look fierce.
Yeah.
And voluptuous curves and all.
Yeah.
Like, I was, actually, too, I have this really good friend, Eric, shout out to you, who totally loved me when I had, like, more curves on me. And then when I got fit, like, and I always, like break his balls because I'm like, you're the only man who I have, like, lost interest for getting fit. And he's like, I know. He's like, I'm sorry. Just, like, I like a little more. And I'm like, I can't. It's, like,
yeah,
crazy. But it's fine. I love you, Eric. Dut, dut, and da, butt, and it's fine. That's dut, dut, and da, butt is his Instagram name.
He is
fantastic. But so what does healing your relationship with food start to look like once you realize that maybe it does need a little bit of work? What do you say to someone as a healer of food relationships? How does someone get that ball rolling?
First of all, what you think about yourself with your relationship to food, you know, are you constantly afraid? Are you constantly feeling guilty? What does food represent to you? What does it represent to your community and your family? What was the meaning of food? You know, was food a source of nourishment, or was food instantly going to make you fat? Are there good foods? Are there bad foods? How do you view food? Are you afraid when you sit down to a meal? Are you watching what everyone around you is eating? Are you having food rituals? Do you take teeny, teeny bites? Do you take a sip of water in between everything? Like, how involved are you with the eating process, you know?
So what if let's say I just do all that stuff. Let's say I sit down at the table and I'm like, that girl got, like, 6 servings of sweet potato. She's fat AF.
Yeah.
Or, like, that girl, like, she really needs to eat a sandwich. Like,
yeah.
I can see. So if I am obsessing, like, do you suggest, like...
Talk about it. Exactly, like, just like that. So I do meal support with clients, and I go and have a meal with them in a therapeutic setting. And so every thought that you're having in your head, put words to it, verbalize it. Let's talk about it. Because in your head, it's just going to go rampant, and it's going to create this, like, giant, elusive, like, just image that you want to really break down and make a reality. Like, okay, so you're, you know, judging the person next to you that's having 5 servings of sweet potatoes, okay? Well, maybe that's what their body needs, you know? How are they relating to it? Are they eating it and then when they're full, they know to stop? Or is it a compulsive, just stuffing something, avoiding something? So really just bringing conversation to it. And with someone that has a healthy sense of food and relationship to food, and just being open, not being afraid or ashamed of anything that you're thinking or feeling. And also, you know, checking in with how you're feeling when you sit down to a meal. I think one of the worst things we can do is sit down in front of the TV or with our phones in our hands and just be completely disconnected from our food process. You know, sit down, check in. How hungry am I? This looks really good. I feel like I want to eat it all. Stop halfway and see how you're feeling. Just constantly, like, this conversation, this relationship with yourself.
And for someone that's, like, got ADD like me, or, like, is just, like, in this, like, because I do hair, so, like, I'm just, like, running really fast.
It's like,
how does someone who's, like, really out of practice with being in touch with their food drop into that more, like, self-led calm state when they get to the table. Like, you just sit down and you take a couple deep breaths.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe turn your phone upside down so you don't see the screen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Preparing is always good. You know, I know that that's something that you do. You know, you prepare ahead of time. You know, you're going to have a crazy day of clients. Then you make it work. You have smoothies, you have snacks, you have things available. The worst thing to do is to be unprepared and then just run to the vending machine and scarf something down because that's the only thing that you have and then feel really bad about it. You already know you're going to feel bad about it beforehand. But that's your seeming only option. So being prepared, like you said, being really grounded, taking deep breaths, just like talking to yourself. That sounds crazy to people, but like we are in relationship with ourselves. You want to know thyself. You want to know what's going on in your body, in your mind. How are you feeling? Am I super anxious? Am I nervous right now? That's going to affect how I eat. Am I scared of something coming up later in the day? That can either increase my appetite or decrease my appetite.
So really, so it's like if listening to this, you're like me and you're like, oh, I do that. Maybe like one step you could take is like looking up, like, what's the title of someone who works with food relationship?
Well,
like a nutritionist?
Well, there's many components. So there's the medical component if you have a full-blown eating disorder and it's affecting your physical health. There's also the mental health component. So you'd want to go see a therapist. There's many, especially in the city, such great resources like myself that we specialize with eating disorders. The National Eating Disorder Association, NEDA.org. That's a great resource.
I bet you could like go on there and like put in your area code
exactly,
or something.
Exactly.
And definitely in LA, don't commute to your therapist because you'll have a nervous breakdown. Find someone close to you.
And there's always someone close to you. You know, this is such a really like thriving community of, you know, people fly in from all over the world to be treated here.
And it's like we develop our relationship with food over our whole life. So it's like if you've had kind of an absent relationship with light or with food, like absent being like a lack of self-awareness, like
yes,
you're just don't really know what your relationship, and you've developed that over 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's going to take a little bit of
absolutely
healing.
And
so maybe approach that with a little bit of like compassion and calmness. And also too, I feel like when I've like found, interview your therapist,
yes,
try a couple.
It's a relationship. It's like a friendship, you know? And so you want someone that you can trust, that you feel like they have a good vibe, good energy. They understand you. There's so many different theoretical orientations that people can do therapy. You know, it could be the really psychodynamic looking at your childhood and, you know, how you were raised, or there's more, you know, like meaning making, there's philosophical, there's so many different approaches. So really finding someone, interviewing your therapist. I love that. Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, and then one thing that I want to talk about, it's like, one thing that really grinds my gears and I don't like it is when they promote body positivity.
Yes.
And you know, one that I think about is my friend Tess.
Mm-hmm.
And she is fierce AF.
Mm-hmm.
She's insanely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what she's saying is like, eating disorder never comes out of her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that. It's about loving yourself wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 70 pounds heavier in the middle of Missouri, losing my dad, I really wish I would have known about her.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was feeling so not fierce.
Yeah.
And I hate when people have the need to tear her down or leave horrific comments on
yeah
her Instagram.
Yeah.
And it's not just Tess. It's other people that are just about body positivity that aren't your classic idea of like what, and I'm air quoting here, you guys, like healthy, like
yeah
what healthy is, because at no weight can you externally look at someone and say like they're healthy. You can say that they might have, you know, more risk for this or more risk for that. But it's like, my question here is, what do you say to someone who feels the need to comment on someone else's weight or someone else's, like if it's a, like, and not even just on the internet, but like if you have a friend
yeah
who is like, is it not your business? Is it your business? Like, how do you like navigate that? Like, because it's a touchy subject to like
yeah
bring up. And like, if someone isn't asking for help, you know, and like, and they are help, because like, I actually know, like for me, like Tessa's health is fierce AF. Like
mm-hmm
she's, I mean, she's got more energy than I do.
Yeah.
Like she's on with her bad self.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, you know, but like my mom, for instance, like my mom, I do wish that she had like a better relationship with food. But like it leads us to fights because I feel
yeah
like the need to be like, mom, you know, I really, and I will, and like I also have another close friend who I see that it is affecting their situation. And like, and I find myself being like, I really want to like, can we do this or do that? And
yeah
like, but meanwhile, I have my own relationship with food that like I need to work on.
Yeah.
So what do you say to those people?
I mean, everyone has an individual relationship to food. And I love that you point out, you know, you can't tell if someone has an eating disorder just by looking at them, you know, especially bulimia. You could look, you know, so many athletes have bulimia and they're the epitome of fitness and health. And so anorexia is a little bit more obvious, but even then someone can just be naturally thin and look underweight. And
yeah, because
be
people give
Juliana healthy.
Rancic for that. They give her crap for that. And that makes me really mad because I have seen her in person.
Yeah.
She looks amazing. Yeah. She like is very energetic. And I feel like that's just so the point of what like my friend Tess is saying is like no matter what your size, like love yourself.
Absolutely.
And if we were all able to love ourselves at our size, the eating disorder thing would have so much less power.
Exactly.
Because that's where so much of the eating disorder comes from, is like feeling not good enough.
Exactly. It's all emotionally related. You know, instead of eating disorder, you know, it's referred to as ED a lot. And I think of like emotional disorder. It's purely an emotional thing that manifests through our control or relationship to food. And unfortunately, I don't think there is anything that you can really do or say to get someone to realize what an impact it's having on their lives. You know, being loving, being supportive, coming from a loving place of worry, I think is helpful. But saying you have a problem, you this, you that, that just creates more distance and makes them feel more ashamed and more shut down. So kind of just getting curious with them too, you know, like, are you happy? Are you feeling isolated? Do you feel engaged in your life? Do you feel like you're missing out on life? Do you want to just isolate and shut yourself in your room? Or are you looking to enjoy life? If so, how can we together go about making some changes?
And maybe know, like, when you've expressed your opinion in moderation enough.
Yes.
Like, know when to, like, you've, like, said your piece. Because that's where I don't know.
And
like,
it's hard
I don't
when you love someone and you just, you see that there's potential for growth and for change and for increased happiness. And they just don't see that. But you really, we're limited. All we can control is ourselves and our own experience. And it's wonderful to want to help and support others. If they're not wanting it, though, it's never – they have a wall and it's not going to get through. So offering support, giving them resources, but it's ultimately up to the person to seek help.
And as far as shaming goes, if you are one of those like horrific shamers who shames people
online –
there's
something wrong with you if you're, you know, if you're feeling
the need – you got three fingers pointing back at you.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's classic, you know, I'm uncomfortable with myself, so I'm going to want to make someone feel worse so that I feel a little bit better. It's just...
And those people need compassion, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's coming from a place of hurt also, you know? It's really hard for me to believe that somebody who really loves themselves and feels good about themselves is going to want to hurt someone else.
Oh, and then what about, like, you know, for resources for people that maybe, like, maybe they, like, are Madonna status and they just moved to LA on, like, $16 and, like, they don't... Like, they have $16 until they book their first couple jobs.
Yeah.
There's like Overeaters Anonymous.
Yeah.
That's fierce, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
As a therapist, we like that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's tons of, you know, like EDA, Eating Disorder Anonymous. You know, there's lots of free groups. Just go online. You can find everything online. Google free eating disorder resources. There's tons of treatment centers in the area that offer free groups, free support groups, educational, informational kind of seminars. There's tons of resources. So never feel like you're alone. Never feel like my only option is to go inpatient or pay $1 million to like have a therapist by my side. There's tons of options. It's a spectrum.
And then, do you like a little team approach? Like a little, like, I have a nutritionist,
absolutely.
I have a therapist. Like, if 1,000%. You really feel like you have like a dysregulated relationship with it, like bring in the troops.
Yes, because a therapist is not a nutritionist and a nutritionist is not a therapist. And usually working together, getting a team is absolutely the way to go.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I feel like taking away from this, like my biggest takeaway from this is, in order to destigmatize something, you have to talk about it.
Absolutely.
And it has to just be okay to talk about.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's what I like the most of what you say is like, we just have to talk. Oh, and if you are going to do the meal thing, do that with your therapist. Like, don't go just like with like your friend who you're concerned about and like say, tell them every single thought that you're having about them.
Yes.
Yeah, make sure you're doing that with a therapist.
Get professional support for sure.
And then, so Alana, like what, like, is there anything like that you want to say to like anyone that could be struggling with this, or like anything that I haven't covered, or any like organization that's doing good work? Like, it's like this is like in the yoga class when you get to that moment where they're like, any poses that you haven't done that you'd really like to do.
Yeah.
Is there anything that like you want to say, or like is there any yoga pose in podcast style that you need to tell the children about?
You know what? Honestly, I just love that there's so much awareness being brought to this topic. I love the work that Tess is doing, and Ashley Graham, and just
Denise Badeau.
Yeah, there's an Instagram I really love, Healthy is the New Skinny, and that's really just kind of like a body positive atmosphere. Facebook, Instagram, there's just so much that people are doing right now, and I just love that we're talking about it.
And then there's like support out there if you need
it. There's so much support. And I love what you do on your Instagram too. You know, you're constantly doing throwbacks and flashbacks. And like you said, loving yourself at all stages. And there's always haters, and you are so strong throughout it, and you still put yourself out there. And I think we need more people like that, that are just like, I'm putting myself out there for the greater cause. This is not about me. This is helping me as well. But it's also really just kind of like take away the shame and the stigma of like, yeah, we like so many of us go through this, and it's okay. And it's the way we cope, and it works until it doesn't work. You know, it's like it's our natural way of coming up with something that helps us cope through difficult times. And it's quite brilliant until it stops working and it becomes a problem. So kind of giving yourself a break of like, okay, this is where I was drawn to. This helped me for a period of time. And now it's gotten to this excessive point where now it's harming me. So
she needs a makeover.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's all.
We're constantly transforming, evolving in this
life.
Like
chunky blonde highlights with red stripes were really
they were cute
fierce
for a while.
Time.
Exactly.
They work until they don't work anymore.
Exactly.
Totally.
Exactly. I love that.
Yeah, that's all. I love that. I mean, I want to thank you so much for coming and
so
talking
much.
To me about this.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. And your
thank
light
you.
Is so bright. And where can people find you? Because this is what you do.
This
so
is what I do.
Where
this
can people find
love.
You?
Yes, ilonavaro.com, ilonavaro.com, Ilona Therapy on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, so good.
Yes.
Please, like, if I didn't precipitate doing your hair, I would be your patient.
Yes.
But, I mean, I kind of get the best of both worlds.
I do. I do, too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening to Getting Curious. Again, it's Max Fun Drive week. We would so love it if you would just take a page out of Bernie Sanders' book and do $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. Get your donation on. We love it. We really appreciate your support. And thank you so much for listening to Getting Curious.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.